But every person in this room has a task. Everyone's going to be inviting somebody this week. Okay? So I'm going to give you a stack on this side and just take each person take one. Whoop. Dropping half of them here. And there's plenty of for everybody. And just pass them back. And if we run out, we'll get make sure you get some after this. Check it out. Yeah. Yeah. Got you curious, don't I? Ah, put it right there for a minute. Well, I hope you've had a good week, and I hope you've had a week where you've had an opportunity to give this week. All right, here's my question for everybody today. Is there anyone out there still looking for the perfect gift? Is anybody out here looking for the ultimate gift you can give somebody? How would you like to hear about the most awesome gift you can give somebody? Raise your hand if you say you want to know. You want to know? Okay, I'm not going to tell you. But I want you to have your credit cards ready because our operators are standing by. And if you call within the next 10 minutes, we'll make sure that you get some Ginsu knives thrown in there for the good there. I'll tell you in a minute what that greatest gift is. Let's have a prayer as we begin. Father, we realize today that the greatest gift any of us could ever receive from you is your Son and the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. You, Lord, you are our greatest gift. Help us to be generous givers, not only during this time of the year, but make it a 365-day event for us, Lord. Help us to be known as generous people, generous with money, with time, with love. Help people see us in that light, Father. I pray today you open our hearts and help us understand the greatest gift that we can give. We have an opportunity to give it. And I pray today that you will help us, Lord, understand this marvelous truth. In Jesus' name, amen. One time in Brazil, we were sitting with, having lunch with some friends, and it was near Christmas time, and a lady said to Sarah, she said, "Sarah, on December 25th, what are you going to do to celebrate Jesus' birthday?" And my daughter looks at her and says, "Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. In fact, he was not created. What are you talking about?" She looked at that woman, and that woman's look on that woman's face when she said that was just pure shock. How many people here know that December 25th is not the day of Jesus' birth? I hope most of us know that. The Gospel of John teaches us that in the beginning, when the universe was created, Jesus already existed. He has always been. He is not created, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would teach. The Bible teaches that he is God in the flesh. And as we would say in the inner city church, he doesn't have a birthday. Jesus doesn't have a birthday. He has always been. The wonderful thing about him leaving heaven was he left that glory. And what's so amazing, what's so humble, is he left all that glory to come down and here and walk among man and woman. So if December 25th is not the day of Jesus' birth, you know, why do we celebrate it? Why do we celebrate December 25th? Well, you can thank Constantine, the Roman emperor, in 313 when he declared Christianity legal in the Roman Empire. He had all these other gods, these Roman gods to deal with, and he wanted to do the right thing, and he wanted to replace December 25th, which was the day of the sun god, Apollo. He wanted to replace that day with something Christian. And he realized, hey, what about Jesus' birth? We could celebrate the birth of Christ. We could celebrate the birth of the Son, the real Son of God. And that's how that day got started, December 25th. Constantine changed it, and it became a day of celebration for Christians. By the way, Jesus could not have been born in December anyway. Shepherds would not be out with their flocks that time of the year because it's so cold in Israel. They would not be out at that time frame. So, you know, to me, it doesn't matter when Jesus was born. It doesn't matter what he looked like because we would make an idol of it anyway. What matters is he came. And the celebration of Jesus' birth, it's interesting what's happened in the last 1,700 years since Constantine declared this day to be a celebration of Jesus. It doesn't look like anything about Jesus now, does it? We got Santa Claus, we got presents, we got Christmas trees, we got all these songs, and Jesus has kind of gotten shoved to the side. And it occurred to me the other day, the fact that sitting in a mall one day, I was looking around at all these people running from store to store. They were looking for the perfect gift. They were stressed out. They were maxing their credit cards out. And they were celebrating the birth of a Savior that they don't even know. They have no idea who he is. And yet they're celebrating it. Now, I've told you this brief history of Christmas, how it began, to ask you a question. If Jesus' birthday is not December 25th, it's simply a tradition, who needs Christmas anyway? Why should we take one day out of the year to be generous givers? Why can't every day be Christmas? And the children are saying, you know, Mommy, I like that new preacher. Why can't every day be Christmas? It should be for a believer of Jesus Christ. Well, do you want to know what the greatest gift we can give? Do you? Huh? Come on up here, Zach. I've got Zach and Marcus coming up here, and they're going to open this gift. You could tell a man wrapped this, by the way. Looks really rough, doesn't it? I'll let you guys do the honors. Come on, rip it, man. What are you doing, man? Oh, that's right. You got to have a knife. Sorry. Man, what could it be?
Man.
This
is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I want one of those.
No, it's mine. My face is
so awesome.
I'm so excited.
You guys are just amazed, aren't you? Appreciate y'all. What is this gift that they're so amazed about? What is the greatest gift that you and I can give to God and to others? It's you. It's me. We have an opportunity to give of ourselves. That is the greatest gift you can give someone else. Look in Mark chapter 8 with me. Mark chapter 8. Thanks, guys, for participating in that. I told them to make it really look good, like it was really something. And they did a great job. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34. Listen to what Jesus says about giving of ourselves from the Master who gave all. Verse 34, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Look back in verse 34 with me. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must. Don't need to say it again to annoy you. Must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus says, if you want to be his follower, we have got to stop making ourselves the center of the universe. We've got to stop making self the whole focus of everything. The world does not revolve around us. And we are so, so selfish, aren't we? Jesus says we need to stop putting ourselves first in our lives. He says we need to take our selfish ways and put it on a cross every day and say, Lord, I am available today. I am yours. You can do what you want. A real simple understanding of this is get out of your life and into the lives of other people. Denying ourselves is a very difficult thing to do. It is a challenge that we need to pray and ask God to help. I love this little acronym, you know, JOY, Jesus first. You've seen this, I know you have, but I just like it. Others second, yourself last. And it should give you joy. Look in verse 35. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Something wonderful happens when we stop serving ourselves. We discover joy. We discover purpose and meaning for our lives. Life begins to have meaning and purpose when, if we try to save ourselves, in other words, if you try to put all your focus on yourself and on material things and on possessions, you will end up, in verse 36, losing your soul. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? I think one of the greatest examples of a person that gave, besides Jesus, was Mother Teresa. I love her statement. She says, the greatest disease in our world today is not AIDS, leprosy, or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unloved and unwanted. Who has had a more rewarding life, Donald Trump or Mother Teresa? She spent her entire life serving others, and you cannot tell me that woman was not satisfied when she was lying on her deathbed. What is the greatest gift we can offer? Let's look at Scripture and answer it another way. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Are y'all hot? Is it hot in here? Or I'm just sweating? Gee, I don't know. If you work up a good sweat, that's how you know you're preaching well. Beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Would you like to know what God's will is for your life? Russ, would you like to learn what God's will is for your life? David? Marina? It's really simple. It's right here in this verse. He says, offer your lives as a living sacrifice. In other words, surrender. Say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. This day, I am yours. You can use me however you want to use me. I am available to you. God cannot use us until we surrender our lives to him. You know, a living sacrifice can get off the altar. They have a choice. We have a choice every day. God knows what is best for our life if we would just trust him. If we would just trust him. I challenge you every day this week to ask God, Lord, as soon as you get up in the morning, Lord, what can I do for you today? I am yours today. You will be surprised how God will answer that prayer, probably in ways that you never even thought. Romans 6 and verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. God wants us. He wants you. He wants you more than anything. The greatest gift we can give to God and to others is ourselves. We can give our time, we can give a listening ear to somebody, we can go visit someone in the hospital, moms, dads, spend time with kids. There's so many ways that we can give of ourselves. This church is famous for giving. I've only been here 6 months, and I'm already absolutely amazed at the giving spirit of this congregation. And I know I can point out people in this congregation. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But there, I have just this past week have just been amazed at what God is doing in the hearts of people here. How you give your time, how you help others, how you spend time with them, how you sacrifice time with family to be with people. Thanks for being the hands and the feet of Jesus, because that is what it's all about, giving of ourselves. Who needs Christmas anyway? I love the passage Jesus in Acts 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why is it more blessed to give than it is to receive? Well, I tell you, it is where we discover our purpose and our meaning in our lives when we are giving ourselves away. We discover the true meaning of love. Don't you feel good when you've helped somebody? You feel better. It's because we're designed to love, not to take, not to be consumers, but to give. You know what the problem is with a lot of us? We miss opportunities to serve because we think it has to be some huge, spectacular thing. You know, some preach in some stadium or go to, some mission trip or go build someone's house or do whatever. Often the Lord calls us to unusual places. He calls us to random acts of kindness. Chris, do you see that widow over there? Yeah, Lord, but I'm wanting to I want to go out and preach, I want to teach. Do you see that widow over there? Yeah. Well, she needs someone to take her to get her groceries today. Why don't you go do that? And we miss the opportunity because we're looking for the big act when in reality it is small, meaningless acts of service that Jesus did. When he washed feet, what do you think he did that for? He did that to show us we should be willing to do the most meaningless things in service to others. Washing feet was not a big deal in the first century. That was for the lowest of servants. And Jesus said, as a follower of his, we need to do the same. Never underestimate the power of kindness. Never underestimate what you can do in someone's life by showing them kindness. That is how I was won to Christ, and you all know my story. The lady washed my clothes, made me something to eat, and she served me. She could not tell me how to become a Christian, but it made me want to seek the answer. And that, my friends, is how it works. How about it, family? What is the greatest gift that you can give this year, next year, every year? We can give of ourselves. What will you do this week? What are you going to do today? Is it all about you today? Or is it about others? Who needs Christmas? Anyway, let's pray. Let's stand for prayer. Excuse me. Father, forgive us for our selfishness. Lord, we're available today. I mean, we're ready to wash feet this week, to be your hands and your feet. What can we do for you today, Lord? Help us to get out of our lives, excuse me, and into the lives of other people this week. Give us opportunities this day, this week, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but the greatest gift of all is the Son. And I'm here to tell you today, that is a gift that is available to every human being on this planet. And I don't know where you are today in your walk with God. If Jesus were to come today, are you confident you'd be in heaven with him? If you died today, are you confident you would go to be in heaven to be with God? We can know. We can know the answer to that question. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with the greatest gift that has been offered for all eternity? The Bible tells us very simply that if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. I'm a sinner, you know. I can't save myself. And I'm ready to put my trust in him. God calls us to repentance, which means simply to stop going my way, which is what sin is, and make a 180 and start going God's way. We confess our faith before men and women because we're not ashamed of him. And in baptism, that is where it all begins, where we are born again of the water and the Spirit, where we are washed clean, and where we begin that new relationship with Jesus. Maybe today you already have done those things, but you have strayed away from the Father. There's no one in this room that's got their lives together. I think we should all have name tags. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I think that would be a very appropriate, because that's what we are. This is a hospital, and you go to hospitals to get fixed. You don't go to hospitals to get judged. You don't see doctors saying, I wish you would have quit drinking and stop doing that. They don't judge you. They help you. And that's what we're here to do today. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we are standing and singing.
Word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how